Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
And we are back again with Happy Hour. We've got Jonna Spilbore. We've got Carol Pesci.
You did it again.
Don't start with me, lady.
Oh, you know what? I know. It's Sunday.
She's so all famous, week. She doesn't want to use the last name.
I'm just testing
it. Cher,
out.
Madonna.
Anyway, Jonna. We're back.
All right, yes. We're back.
Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
So it's been another week.
Yes.
Jonna, Carol, how are we doing?
We're doing great. I'm doing actually really great. I'm so great I'm being annoying.
And?
You're going to tell people why? You want me to
I'm sleeping
you?
Better. I mean, my sleep has just been awful lately. I don't know if anyone, if you're listening, if you can relate to what it's
wait,
like
no,
to
wait.
Not
I'm
sleep.
Sorry. Is there anyone over the age of 32 listening? Because if you are, you don't
night?
Sleep either.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I went on some supplements recently. My adrenal gland was not happy. So mm-hmm. all sorts of natural, you know, supplements, vitamins, like intensive vitamins to boost that. And I'm sleeping better, and I feel like a rock star.
See, that's awesome. And I'm going to get the list from you, because you guys should... You haven't seen... Like, I take more supplements in the morning than Jimmy Carter. Like, I have an actual bread box that's gigantic, and it is filled with nothing but vitamins and this
so I can see
stuff.
You. So Frank and Mary gets up in the morning, and being the loyal kind of guy that he is, mm-hmm. he gets himself a bowl of Frank and Mary cereal, mm-hmm. pours milk in it, and yum. You take a bowl... Pour in all your supplements. Do you pour milk in with it and spoon
no.
feed yourself your supplements?
No.
No, not like that?
I just pop them with coffee, basically.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But I take caffeine and supplements.
I take like 30 different pills.
Yeah. And how you feeling? How you sleeping?
I sleep like crap, but mm-hmm. I feel great. No. I guess maybe the pills, I don't need to sleep with these things.
I'm going to imagine, though, Jonna, as you continue to pop the supplements, though, mm-hmm. the Uber driver's probably getting pretty freaked out with you in the back seat. You pop... Pop, pop.
Yeah. You know what? Any Uber driver would have a lot of nerve getting upset with me popping pills in the back seat, because I'm sure they're popping them
oh.
in the front seat.
Oh, Frank and Mary, you've never heard of a driver, like a taxi driver or Uber driver, getting frustrated with Jonna in the back seat? Have you ever heard a story
never,
like that?
Never
ever?
Heard a story like that. She's the best passenger
like
ever.
One that threatens to leave her on the side of Route 9 because she's being so friendly in the back seat.
Wait a minute.
What?
That was not my fault. That was, I will take responsibility when I am a jerk. I own it. And it's happened.
Own your
that
jerk.
That particular time, I was not the down. Jerk in the situation.
Own your jerk.
Yeah. That's, you know what? That's a good one. Let's put that on t-shirts.
Yeah.
I happen to have an Uber story, a new one. But I wasn't,
imagine that, Frankenberry.
I wasn't actually planning on telling it, but since Frankenberry brought it up,
okay.
maybe I oughta.
I want. Oh,
you think I oughta?
You oughta.
All right, this is actually really embarrassing.
Okay.
So, Uber has been very big in Manhattan before it came here. Like, it recently came here, and I'm sure it's wonderful here. And I use it all the time in the city. And so, if you know how Uber works to prevent Uber fraud, each of you are supposed to identify yourself. The driver and the passenger need to make this connection so that they know it's you're the right passenger, because you pay for everything on your app, right?
Right.
So people used to, I think, steal Ubers all the time before they figured out that we have to prevent that. All right. With that said, I've never stolen an Uber in my life. No desire to.
I believe that.
And I don't think anybody has ever stolen one, because the app's really good about keeping you informed. But so I don't think anybody's done it to
me. Well, I'm sure there's some folks that are listening that are going, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I've stolen an Uber. I've
well,
done it. I've
I
been there.
Do not condone Uber stealing. So anyway, so what happened was, the other morning I was in the city and I had to do some work-related stuff. So it's like a busy time. It's about 8 o'clock in the morning, which is busy Uber time. So I am waiting and waiting and waiting.
It's Uber busy. You're welcome.
Sorry.
Thank you.
No rim shots available. My apologies.
Thank you.
I'll have to get a button bar.
So I'm waiting, waiting, waiting. Finally, my Uber pulls up, and you know, we do the universal connection thing, like you have the right person, and he says, are you, and this is what I hear, are you Juana? And I say, of course, yes, because Jana, with various mm-hmm. dialects, and people don't know me, yep. comes out as numerous things. And as long as I get the J, I figure
it's me.
We got the right thing going on. So I go, yes, I'm Juana. And then, so I get in, and he pulls away, and he says something to me about my destination, and I go, no. That's not where I'm going. I'm going to 1261 Broadway. He's like, well, this says you're going all the way downtown. I'm like, no. So he says again, he's like, are you sure you're Juana? And I go, Jana? And he's nodding, and I'm nodding, and we're all nodding, and but he's not going to where I'm going. Uh-oh. So the next thing I know, he's like, you must not be the right passenger. And I said, well, isn't that a fine how do you do? Because there can't be too many Juanas on the planet. I could be one of the only ones. So he pulls over, and the next thing I know, this very, very angry man is running over to the Uber.
Uh-oh.
Guess what his name was?
Juana.
Juno.
Nope.
His name was Juno.
How'd you find that out?
J-U-N-O. Because...
Did he accost you?
Because... No. Well, he was very angry. But the Uber driver finally showed me the spelling of the name that he was pronouncing as Juana, and it was Juno. So I'm like, this ain't the right Uber. So I get out, the angry man's running over to the Uber, and I say to the angry man, oh my God, I'm really sorry about this. Oddly, we have a similar name. And he basically just looked at me like, I hate you, and if I could, I would pop a cap in your butt. And then brushed past me and got into the Uber. So now I'm two blocks away from where my Uber is supposed to pick me up. But let's just say all's well that ends well. I got in and that was fine.
So, and this is actually interesting that you say that, because our topic coming up with our guest today is why haters hate. Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, super sharp girl. She's going to be talking to us about why haters hate. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that you were really cool about it. You didn't try to play it off. You approach the guy and say, I'm sorry, and he's still hating on you. Like, come on, right. You're being honest about it. Why you gotta do that?
Yeah.
That he can't take the situation for what it is, which is just a really
a mistake.
Interesting.
And you owned it.
You owned
your jerk.
Once in a lifetime kind of coincidence that you're gonna have two names and you're gonna have that guy in the middle who pronounces one or the other incorrectly.
Yeah.
And thinks they're both the same or could think they are.
It was a very, very weird mistake. But in my own defense, in that situation, perhaps Mr. Uber driver, like, you can cancel it. I'm in his car. He could have canceled it, and the other guy, I mean, I've had Ubers cancel all the time at the last second. It's not like it's an unusual thing. They do that. At least they do in the city. He could have canceled it and then taken me where I wanted to go, and Juno, the angry man, could have gotten another Uber.
She says it with such disdain, doesn't she, Frankenberry?
His hands went up in the air, like, you know, like I intentionally, not only was I stealing his Uber, but I was trying to steal his baby.
That's why you stopped and got out, because you were trying to steal it.
Yeah. So that was not a pleasant experience. But now I'm thinking I should maybe change my Uber account. I'm going to change my Uber account to, like, Jane Doe. So no question. Are you Jane? Yeah. Well, yes, I am.
Why don't you become Frankenberry?
Oh, even better.
Because Frankenberry drives himself everywhere. Have you ever taken an Uber? He's not going to take an Uber.
Well, first of all, remember, I don't go anywhere. I come to work, I go home, I come to work.
Yeah,
that's
a safe name.
Frankenberry. I like that. It'll never be mixed up.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Don't go with Jane Doe.
Don't go. Too common, right? Because anybody
No,
can
it's
get...
not. It's not that. You're just going to end up being some sort of statistic.
With a chalk
it's going to be a weird thing.
Oh, yeah, and then it's going to be. Yeah, and the news will be like, Jane Doe. That is her real name. Jane Doe.
Was found in the back seat of an Uber.
Because some angry man named Juno killed her.
She was found in the back seat of not only an Uber, but the wrong Uber.
Keith Morrison.
And speaking of Juno the hater. And what is her name again that we are going to be speaking with?
Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo.
Yeah,
she's
her.
Sharp. She's been on the Today Show. She's a psychologist, and she is going to be talking to us about why haters hate. I mean, we deal with that everywhere. Being on social media, it's like impossible not to come across it. So we're going to talk about what's that psychology behind it, because I think if you can understand what's going on inside the hater's head, not saying it's okay, it's not, maybe won't bother you so much.
And
you'll know how to handle
remind
it.
Me to ask her specifically about social media, because it is rampant. At least it is on my social media pages. People being
I know.
Jerks.
You'll post something innocent about like a cute little raccoon on your deck.
Yeah.
And make fun of it. And then you'll have people post dumb stuff about
yeah.
you got real problems.
How it's dare like, you're not saying prayers for people in Guadalajara right
get
now.
Get off my page.
Yeah, it is a daily
You
occurrence.
Follow me and then you hate on me.
Yes.
Come on.
So we're going to talk to her about
Silly.
That.
All right. Yeah. And then after that, so stick around because you did something stupid, and I love when that happens because you always like to share. And so we're going to have a story in the later part of the show about something really embarrassing you did.
It's even more stupider than my Uber story.
Awesome.
So stay tuned.
When we come back.
All right. We'll find out why haters hate. It's on the way. This is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we are back. It's Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore. It is Carol Pesci, and I am Frankenberry. And we now are going to find out why haters hate,
yes.
according to Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo.
Yeah, this is a really important topic, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, modern day bullying, it's just easier to bully people with access to social media. So on the line with us, we have, I'm going to call her a good friend at this point.
Yes.
Because we are BFFs. Pretty much, because she's very cool, she's very smart, she's very pretty. Yeah.
We're long-distance BFFs.
Yeah, we haven't
We've
met
had
her,
her
in person,
on a few
but
times.
She's been on a show a few times because she is so smart and takes really important topics but makes them approachable and understandable. So on the line with us, so she's considered Shaquille O'Neal's head coach for happiness, Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo. She's on a mission to free people from a restricted mindset and end the stress of perfectionism caused by your own inner critic. Nobody deals with that, huh?
Mm.
Yeah. I started reading her book and I emailed her. I'm like, oh,
I hate myself.
I know, I'm a perfectionist. Her unique ability to help men and women unlock their own unique personal happiness code has made her America's most interviewed celebrity psychologist with over 100, I wrote 1,000, but you know what? Let's bring that right into your future. Radio and TV appearances on shows like Dr. Oz, The Today Show, Steve Harvey, CNN, and others. Dr. Lombardo's articles can frequently be found on Success, Fast Company, Better Homes and Gardens, Huffington Post, and many other respected publications. She's a licensed practicing psychologist with a master's degree in physical therapy and a PhD in psychology. Feeling like a slacker at the moment. Dr. Lombardo's newest best-selling book, which I love, I think I'm due to read it again, Better Than Perfect, 7 Strategies to Crush Your Inner Critic and Create a Life You Love, helps anyone suffering from conditional self-worth or perfectionism turn down their critic's voice, turn up their optimal mindset, and gain essential skills to flourish in work, health, relationships, and life. And when we conclude our interview, we'll make sure people know how to find you, what your website is. Dr. Lombardo, welcome to our show.
Thanks so much. It's exhausting to hear all that, but I appreciate it.
I know, you look at it. Wait a minute, did I really do all that?
Exactly.
I'm kind of a good deal. But, and so what's interesting, so your book, Better Than Perfect, which I love, available on Amazon, kind of ties into our topic, doesn't it? Because it's that I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the reason haters hate has to do with how they feel about themselves and their own inner critic. Am I right?
That's exactly it. Everything that is going on inside of us is also going on outside of us. You want to know how you view yourself, look at how you interact with other people.
So wait a minute.
She's got a knitted brow, Dr. Lombardo.
So sorry. So you okay? So if you take the basic anatomy of a hater, are you saying that what they project to everybody on the outside, who's receiving the hate, is going on inside them? Like they could really address that to themselves?
It's completely going on inside of them. Mm. They have this conditional sense of worth. I'm okay if people around me react in a certain way, people do certain things. They are very threatened by other people's differences. They operate from a win-lose. If I win, you lose. But if you win, then I lose, and I can't have that.
Mm. Oh, man.
So, yeah, when you see these angry people, when you see these haters, if you can, the goal is to take a step back and empathize with them. Wow, they are really miserable on the inside in order to be acting like this. Because people who are truly good with themselves, those people who are, you know, quote, comfortable in their own skin, they aren't haters.
Correct.
You can be different. You can look different. You can have a different opinion. It doesn't matter. I respect that. But haters can't have that because their ego, their sense of self is so fragile.
When you feel good about yourself, you are kind and compassionate and giving to other people. You don't feel good about yourself and then go around criticizing other people.
That's
so
exactly
just the very fact that you may have an interaction with somebody who's hating on you, putting you down, whether it's in person, whether it's on social media, you got to know right then and there that that person does not feel good about who they are. They got some inner turmoil going on.
Exactly. And the key then is not to personalize it. I have a saying, it's not them, it's you. Or it's not you, excuse me, I have both sayings, but it's not you, it's them. In this case, it is their perspective, it is their anger, it is their inner critic that is shouting so loudly that's impacting them. I mean, think about it. When you've had a bad day and you're beating yourself up about something, you know, what do we tend to do? We tend to share the wealth with our loved ones, don't we? We kick the proverbial dog or we yell at our partner or our kids who are doing the same thing by leaving their book bags. We're just so frustrated with them. It's because we're beating ourselves up on the inside, and that's coming out in every interaction that we have.
Wait, Dr. Lombardo, is it as specific as, like, let's take an example. I'll give you an example of, like, from my social media page. Let's say somebody comes on my social media page and says something like, you are so darn selfish for not showing any sort of empathy for the victims of the recent hurricanes on my Facebook page. Does that mean that that's the exact problem that they have with themselves, that they don't feel empathy, or can it be beyond that?
It could be bigger than that, but it's someone trying to find fault in you. They feel better when they find fault in other people because, again, they operate from win-lose. If I win, then you lose. If you win, then I lose. So if I feel better than you, if I put you down, there's this kind of temporary and superficial sense of I feel better about myself.
You know what? It never works in the long term. You don't ever raise the state of your own confidence, your own happiness by hurting and criticizing other people.
But they must get something out of it.
She said an initial gratification. A short-lived...
It's a quick fix. It's almost like a drug. You know, people who use drugs and they try not to use drugs, but they use drugs, they get that quick fix and then they feel regret or they don't feel good about themselves and so they need to keep doing more and more and more. It's a really poor coping mechanism. And the problem is not only that it's a poor coping mechanism, but that people are doing it more and more and more. And especially with things like social media where you can have either anonymity or at least you weren't looking directly at the person in their face, people feel more free to be mean and say hurtful things.
So the first key is to understand when somebody's hating on you, it is much more a reflection of what's going on inside of them and how they view the world and you than it really is.
How they view the world and how they view themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
So do your best not to personalize it, to realize when that's happening. And that's easier said than done. But I think if you can understand the dynamics behind it, it might be a little bit easier. So then secondly to that, when you have that understanding, do you have any advice as to how do you respond? And if so, how? Or do you ignore, delete? I mean, what do you do?
Well, it depends on where it is and what's happening. So if it's a hateful post on a social media site, do not comment. Because the way social media sites are, especially things like Facebook, is if you comment on someone's post, you're more likely to see their posts first in your feed.
Right.
So you can unfriend them, unfollow them, or ignore them. Now, sometimes you may want to make a comment. So, for example, yesterday I wrote, I do have 3 graduate degrees, but I also spell like a third grader. So I wrote a post on my Facebook page, and I misspelled something. And within 30 seconds of posting this, someone had made some condescending, you know, hurtful comment or attempt to be hurtful comment about how I misspelled it. And so in that case, I own that I can't spell very well. I do not personalize that, but I saw what was happening with this person. So I simply said, you know what? You're absolutely right. I looked it up in the dictionary. You're right. I was wrong. Thanks for the information.
You should have spelled that whole response wrong just to really get under his skin.
I can totally see you doing that.
That would bug me.
Yeah.
But no, but and people do that all the time. The one person who I was referencing who did go on my social media page and tell me that I was some sort of terrible person because I didn't post prayers for whatever the latest hurricane was, then went privately messaged me to say, but no, it was so weird, Dr. Lombardo, to say something like, you know, I'm only saying that because I care. Now, keep in mind, I have no idea who this person is. It's not like he's a friend and that we're connected in some way.
So,
I mean, that was like it. So I ignored everything. I just ignored it all.
There you go. And,
yeah.
And in person, and I guess you got to take circumstances individually on their own. But in person, if you maybe you work with somebody who just tends to be a hater and is always putting other people down. If you can reflect for a moment, I think, and understand you have no idea what's going on inside that person's head. You have no idea what they've been through. You've never walked a day in their shoes. Maybe you could be the one person that goes up to that person and extends an olive branch or offers something of consideration or care.
Can you change a hater?
Yes, you can change a hater.
Only if you're wearing a helmet.
How do you change a hater?
Padded armor, bodysuit.
Exactly.
Well, but it goes back to what you were saying in terms of we don't know what's going on in that person's life. A lot of times people are haters because they feel like other people don't like them. They feel alone.
Right.
They feel sad. And so if you can offer them, you know, reciprocating the hate is only going to fuel their hate.
Yep.
So whatever you can do to be the person who you would want to be and be the person who might be able to be helpful is so important. Because if someone is acting with such hatred, probably most people are responding in kind. And if you can be the person who just thanks them for what they did or points out, you know, a lot of times if it's something at work, people feel so overworked and underappreciated. Mm-hmm. If you could acknowledge how hard they're working and if you could appreciate what they're doing, that can really help them change.
And reciprocating hate, and I see this often on social media too, people that will share posts of and say, oh, how stupid, and I'm like, you just became that, what you were criticizing, you know?
Yes.
Like, look for an opportunity. I'll give you a quick story. I think I shared this before. Not quite a hater, but I was in a department store not that long ago, and the customer service person behind the desk had a major attitude. She was tossing stuff around, wasn't giving me eye contact. So maybe a mild hater, maybe just hating in general, not against me.
Right.
And I would say a number of years ago, I probably would have, you know, hands on my hip, okay, you know, and copped my own attitude because you have a job, you are here to serve me, you should be grateful you have a job, that kind of attitude. But I look at things differently now because of what I know, and partly Dr. Lombardo, because of what I've learned from you. And I had picked up, ironically, two Kind bars because I was hungry and I had to return something at the desk. So I just took one of those bars, I pushed it forward a little bit, and I said, excuse me, would you like one of these? It looks like you're having a bad day. She stopped what she was doing. She made eye contact with me. And she said, are you kidding me? She says, no, I'm not hungry, but you just made my night.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
She said, I just came in for my shift, and the person before me didn't do their job, and now I'm stuck cleaning up. She said, thank you.
And she was taking that personally.
Yeah. So what did that take? It didn't even cause me anything. So, you know, have a little bit of compassion. I'm not saying allow people to walk over you. Or be hurtful. Don't stand for that. But where you can, be the person of compassion.
Exactly. And remember that, you know, stress plays a huge role in how we act. Mm-hmm. So think of stress from 0 to 10. 0 is no stress at all. You just got off the massage table. 10 is the most stressed out you've ever been. When we are at levels 7 or higher, we tend to think more negatively. We tend to act more negatively. I always tell my clients, if your stress level is at a 7 or higher, don't let anything out of your mouth because you may say something you regret. And don't put anything in your mouth.
Unless it's alcohol.
We tend to,
unless it's alcohol.
So, you know, in that situation, it's a great example. And probably her stress level was just so high and she was reacting to that.
And I left there feeling amazing. And I still, I mean, it was months ago and I still remember it.
And I tell you what, so does she.
Wow.
Yes.
It's not that hard, right?
No,
but you know,
really
one of the problems I see today, though, and I think this is something, and it's a question I have of you, is obviously people are more empowered, and especially recently, to be more hateful, and social media obviously aids in that. So but my question of you is, Doc, where do we draw the line between what is considered, in this case, hating, as opposed to just genuine criticism that people can take, and they can try to take a step back and say, oh, can we actually have a conversation before we get there? Because, you know, I mean, I'm on Twitter quite a lot. And look, I will freely admit that I have said some mean things on Twitter.
No.
But what?
You have?
Okay, general. Well,
Frank and Barry,
I'm not going to explain this.
We're glad you brought this up.
I have a chocolate bar in my pocketbook.
I'm not necessarily going to explain what it is, but usually it's within the realm of a conversation. I may agree or disagree, and usually it's politically involved. But the question I have is, again, where do you go when it's actual just genuine criticism that you're pointing out? Maybe you're pointing out that somebody has posted a lie. Maybe you're pointing out that somebody's information is incorrect. As somebody, you know, had to go to, you know, the grammar police caught you on your one word, you responded back in kind. So you actually had a conversation with this person. That's the question. How can you take some of this and try to turn it into a conversation, or at least explain to somebody, I wasn't being mean.
I have an answer, but I want to hear what the smart one has to say first.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I mean, it's really how you present it, and it's how it's heard. So you could be offering constructive feedback in a way that isn't attacking the person, but maybe disagreeing with the ideas. And that's one thing, which is fine. I mean, we all have different opinions, and that's fine. But it may be how you're saying it. It also may be how it's heard. Because someone who has conditional self-worth, who, you know, only believes in themselves if people agree with me, if people, you know, think I'm smart, whatever it is, then anything that goes against what they say feels like an attack on their person, their self-worth. And so part of it is how you say it, but the other part is how that other person hears it.
Right.
Dr. Lombardo, does it also matter your relationship with the person that you're having the critical conversation with? Like, if you don't know them at all, then shouldn't you automatically assume that it's critical? And if you do know them, like if Frank and Barry or Carol said something critical to me after I punched them in the neck, I'd be like, are you guys saying that because you care?
You would know that. You would know that implicitly. Yeah.
So isn't it a relationship
definitely,
thing?
Definitely. Your history with someone is going to have a huge impact. If it's someone in your life who overall, you know, you've heard filling someone's bucket, right? If you have a lot of positive experiences with that person and then they say one thing, your interpretation is going to be different than if you've had a lot of negative experiences with someone or if you've never had any experiences with them.
Good point.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it is, and I think this is a kind of a silly thing I remember from my childhood. Very loving parents. And my mother would never criticize me as the person. She would criticize an action I took. It was always, if I did something wrong, it wasn't berating me as a human being or my judgment. It was the action, always. It wasn't me, the person. So I think if you're the person that wants to correct somebody or wants to point out something that's accurate, and you're going to go do it in a way that is not critical of the person, but
it's not critical of the person, and it's respectful. You can respectfully disagree.
Absolutely.
You can point out a fact that was not, that the person didn't portray accurately, but you don't have to do it in a way that you're stupid,
exactly.
You know, all you blank think like this. I mean, there are a lot of extremes that people tend to fall into.
I don't see a whole lot of difference between somebody saying, that was a really stupid thing you did, and you're stupid.
Ooh, it's very different.
You think, is it different? Maybe that's my own filter, because I would go straight
to
your stupid.
Well, Carol just told us what the difference is, because the difference is that her mother made sure that there was a difference between the action and Carol, whereas a lot of parents and a lot of people make sure that that action defines you.
I don't like what you just did, but I still love you.
But Carol's brain, that I get. But your brain, so let's say it's not a parent. Let's say it's a friend or a coworker or something who said that was a stupid thing for you to do. I think it's an easy interpretation or leap to make that you internalize that as, oh, that person thinks I'm stupid.
Well, I'm not sure that anything that we describe something that someone did as stupid is going to be difficult not to take personally. You can say that was wrong. Mm-hmm. Here's why. Here's
that
the right thing.
That wasn't very helpful. That wasn't very healthy. So there are different ways to describe something when you're giving feedback.
Yeah, I love you, but that was stupid. Yeah, I'm still going to take it personally.
Yeah, I would take that personally.
We're wrapping up here with Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo.
If I could just say one thing.
Yeah, of course.
Remember we talked about how it's not just what you say, but it's how it's heard.
Yep. Yes.
So someone who has more conditional self-worth, who maybe doesn't have that unconditional self-worth, might hear that as you're stupid and personalize that. Whereas someone who has unconditional self-worth, believes in themselves because of their values and who they are on the inside, might hear it as, okay, you know, you're right. That wasn't a really smart thing to do.
I think the bottom line is,
be
I'm
nice.
Rubber, you're glue.
Don't be a, what'd you say?
I'm rubber, you're glue.
Don't be a jerk. That's our message today. All right, we're wrapping up here with our very good friend, Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, on the topic of why haters hate. If you want to get her book, which is fabulous, it's called Better Than Perfect. It's available on Amazon.com. Your website, Dr. Lombardo, is ElizabethLombardo.com. Anything else, any parting words you want our listeners to know or how to find
you? Follow me on Facebook.
Yeah.
Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo. You can check out all of my inspiration and spelling errors. Awesome.
All right.
We'll point all of them out for you, Doug.
Great way to
just because
it.
We love you. And you know what? Before each one, we'll say, please don't take this personally, but.
Right.
But you suck at spelling.
All right. Thank you so much
Thanks,
taking the time to talk with us. It's such an important topic, and we appreciate your insight and humor and all of your advice. Thank you so much, Dr. Lombardo.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doc. We appreciate it. We've got more of Happy Hour with John and Carol on the way. This is 92.9 WBPM.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with John and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And it is Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. And thanks again so much to our guest, Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, who told us quite a lot and gave us an idea
so
on why haters hate.
Yeah, sadly, it's an important topic. But yeah, she's awesome. It's really good to have a better understanding of that. If you tuned into the end of that interview, we were talking with Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo. She's the author of Better Than Perfect. And she was explaining to us what's going on inside the head of a hater.
Mm-hmm.
And some of her tips to help us understand that and how to deal with it. If you missed the interview and you want to hear it, you can go to k104online.com/happy hour. I'm not sure if it'll be up right away, but the podcast will be there also.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to this show and past shows on iTunes. Just look for Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. And Carol is spelled, sorry for this, it's not my fault, it's spelled K-E-R-Y-L. Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol on iTunes. Also, if you want to get more information about us and what we're up to, you can go to our website, netchicks.tv, as well as check out our YouTube channel, Netchicks TV. We've got a few video-based episodes of this show up there. Also, hey, just want to point out, it's National Dog Week. Like, we need another
reason. Is it really? I thought it was just National Dog Day, like
National Dog Week, if you need another reason to love your dogs even more. And also, it's National Sea Otter Awareness Week, so be
in
nice
case
to
you want to love your sea otters
that
more,
you
right.
see. Be nice.
So we need to go to YouTube and look for videos of dogs befriending sea otters.
Listen, there probably is one.
I'm sure I've actually seen them.
There are very cute sea otter videos on YouTube. Like, it's going to make you want a sea otter. I'm not kidding.
They are really very cute.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, so you have an interesting story to tell. I love when embarrassing things happen to you because most people,
thanks.
When something embarrassing happens, what do? We tell no one. We hide it because it's embarrassing. We don't want people to know about it. First thing you do is text me. And you say, remind me to tell you about this on air.
I did do that.
And I wrote it right down in my little notebook. I was not going to forget it. So what, pray tell?
This becomes a teachable thing, right?
Oh, yeah, teachable
we've
moment.
So much,
teachable
moment, haven't we? Honestly.
So for all the folks out there that may hold these things in, that may not tell their friends, they take that embarrassment, they stick it inside.
Not good, Joel.
Jonna Spilbore is here for
that
teachable moment to say it's healthier to let it out and to laugh at yourself.
You're normal.
It's healthier when you wear a wrapped dress on Fifth Avenue and you get out of a car and the wind blows it open. It's healthy to talk about it. It's healthy when you are in court as an attorney walking up to see the judge and you have a major static cling issue so that once you get up to the front, you need to turn around and keep your back to the judge. This is all the kind of thing that you need to share. It's healthy.
It helps process
counselor?
The moment. Yes. When you're wearing a dress completely backwards.
Oh, forgot about that one.
In public. Yeah. All right. So
what happened now?
This does not involve a wardrobe, but I'm just going to let this out there. So we all have bad days. Everybody in this room, yeah. Everybody listening, when I say a bad day, I don't mean the kind of bad day like something awful happens. I just mean one of those days where it's kind of like one annoying thing after another. Frankenberry, didn't you, you had a day like that?
Well, yeah, that was just earlier this week. It was just, I got frustrated by 9 o'clock and that frustration stayed with me and got magnified.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the day, I was just, you know, I was ready to burst.
That's
and
the thing about frustration, it's sticky.
It's sticky. And when you're ready to burst, that's when sometimes you might do something that's a little stupid. I'm just saying. All right. So I have to preface that because I was having a similar day last week where I had to leave my office. I had to drive to the city. It was really trafficy. It was really rainy. So it took like over 2 hours to get there driving, and it was dark and driving was tough in this weather. And so, and I had a bunch of stuff that I had to carry with me you guys know I have a little New York City pad that I use for a lot of reasons. But anyway, so I had to get there finally after 2.5 hours, and my arms are laden with all this junk that I got to carry in, and I don't have a free hand, and my arms are breaking, and I get into the elevator to go up to my apartment, and it's stopping on every floor, right? So as it stops on every floor, right, my arms are getting more tired, and I can't put anything down, and I'm too proud to have, like, you know, something easy to help me carry this stuff. So after several floors, I finally look over at the elevator thing that shows you what floors people are getting off on. And I'm like, phew, I'm next. Finally. Great. So the elevator stops. People have to get out of my way. I'm bumping into them. All this stuff. Laying, blah, blah, blah. I get out of the elevator. I go really fast shuffling to my apartment because everything's about to fall. And I get to my apartment door, and the freaking door is open. Now, I don't mean it's not just unlocked. I mean, it is ajar. The door is ajar. Now,
oh my God, did your heart sink?
I live alone. I knew nobody was staying with me. Nobody was to be in that apartment. And I had not called, you know, the repairman to fix a light bulb like I have a tendency to do. So I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Somebody is in my freaking apartment. So now, instead of like dropping all my stuff and maybe going downstairs and getting a security guard to come with me, which I easily could have done, I instead went into this very strange, possessive, protective mode, and I basically hurled my entire body laden with all computers and bags and all this stuff, and I like Cagney and Lacey it into my apartment. Boom! And the door goes flying open, and I'm still holding on to all my stuff. And that's when I realized,
you were on the wrong...
It ain't my apartment! Oh my God!
Oh my God!
So now I realize, so thank God I still have all this stuff that I'm laying with.
And is it hating if I say I love your stupidity?
This is crazy. But the worst part is, so I realize instantly once the door flies open with my body on it.
It's not your furniture.
It's not my furniture. And so I back away, and the door that was ajar slams shut in my face. So now I figure, whoever is in there, living there,
just did that.
Knows that. No, I mean, the door, I forced it open with such force that gravity pulled it back. So, but if they were in the other room, they were in the bathroom, they're going
to
hear their door slam.
You need to move quickly.
So I book back. And then, remember, now I'm carrying all this stuff, so I look I don't know. I'm just trying to move really fast, but I can't. And I get into the elevator, and I'm one floor away from my apartment. So I got off of the right. So now I get back.
Did the person ever see you?
No. I got in, and I get in, and I go down one floor, and there are other people in the elevator. Like, why are you taking the elevator for just one floor? And I'm like, look at me, and I'm carrying all this stuff. And then I get into my apartment. I'm like, and the first thing I do is text you.
Me.
And I'm like, and then it dawns on me that what if the person who lives in that apartment, which is exactly one apartment below mine, so they hear me walk and stuff. What if that person like just went to get the mail and didn't have their key, and I just locked them out of their apartment?
Yeah. That could totally be.
You just started a movie.
You think
that could be the first scene of the movie
of a murder mystery?
Yes, you lock them out of their place, and when they go downstairs, they accidentally walk into some trouble. Something happens to them because you've set them up in a situation now where they can't get in their place.
This is so classic. This is one of your best stories ever.
I really felt bad. And I almost thought to go back and like leave a note because in these high rises, if you lock somebody out of their apartment and they don't have the, and the spare key's not where it's supposed to be, they'll charge you $75 to get back in your place. It's called a lockout fee. So I started feeling bad.
I think you should shove $75 cash under the door.
And just do that, like, anonymously. Just, you know, just in case. Just in case I cause
you.
Well,
no, you can put a note on it. It's not like they're going to know who left the note. You just put a note on the $75 that says, listen,
I accidentally
walked into the wrong apartment the other day.
I live a floor above you.
Hopefully, see you in the elevator soon. I mean, how embarrassing.
That's awesome.
I almost died. Anyway.
And if they were like looking at you, they were either not in there, like you said, there's probably somewhere in the building. Maybe they went to get an ice maker, like that.
Yeah,
kind of
they
thing.
Could have done it.
So that, likely. Or they were home expecting somebody and they were maybe in the back bedroom or something. But can you imagine if, as you bust through that door, they're just standing there facing you? This is, you're bringing Seinfeld to life, what you did.
Also, please picture, like, did you ever see somebody's walking so fast because they have to pee? Like the pee-pee walk?
Have I seen it?
Picture that.
Done it.
Picture that with just like 18 different bags and brooms and umbrellas.
And 5-inch heels.
Yeah. Running to the elevator so that I don't get caught. B&E. Breaking and entering into my downstairs neighbor's apartment.
You just eed. You didn't be.
Oh, kind of. I busted that door open so that it flung shut.
But I guess this is the difference between you and me. You want to know what the difference is?
No, please tell me, other than...
I wouldn't have run away. I would have started laughing, and I would have yelled into the apartment, hey, my bad.
You would have, too, Frank
and
Barry.
I would have.
You're right, you would have. I don't know what I would have done. I think I would have froze. I think I would have froze and then gotten arrested because I wouldn't be able to move. That's awesome.
So that was very embarrassing.
I walked in the wrong door once, but it wasn't into somebody else's apartment.
But I was asking you, is that a bathroom door? Because that's another thing that could be embarrassing.
Oh, I've done that. See, that's the challenge with alcohol in Manhattan nightclubs and restaurants.
They're dark.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And the time it happened to me, I was on my way out.
Oh. Oh, so you'd been there for a while. Right.
You know, I think I drank too much to care too much about it. But anyway. So my gynecologist...
Uh-oh.
Shares office space with a dentist. And
but of
it's
course.
A big, like, it's a maze. Like, there's multiple door, you know, multiple rooms for her, for the dentist, whatever. And I get done with one of my visits, and I don't have the best sense of direction.
No, especially in mazy offices.
And I'm like, yeah, because there's like, wait, I see the dental receiving desk, but that's not her. So I turned around, I went back, I opened a door thinking I was getting out.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
What were you getting into? Mammogram land?
Somebody else's exam room.
As it was happening? As
no,
it was
seriously?
Happening?
You
yes, but it was, she was.
Oh,
you walked into the sterile?
But I didn't, nothing, she wasn't like laying on her back ready for the exam, but there was a woman dressed in paper.
Now, Carol.
The doctor was in there. My doctor was in there.
Well,
she smiled and kindly took me softly by the shoulders and turned me around and pointed me in the right direction.
No way. All right.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Ugh. So it didn't say anything like the doctor's name.
No, it was like I knew it was the end at the end of a hall to get out. I was just at the wrong hall.
See, now I'm going to blame your doctor. Like, she should have do not enter.
Idiot, or exam room
like
number.
Like, idiot-proof signs. This is how you get out. Like, wow.
Exam room
when you, go back, it'll be just that. It'll be a sign with a finger pointing. It'll be your face out above the finger. It says, follow Carol this way.
They're going to have one of those, like, ID tags you put on your dog that you can track them.
No.
Yeah, where's Carol? Let's make sure.
Let's do more like what we do here in the radio studio.
What?
When the room is occupied, put a big red light out at front so people can't miss it. The international symbol for don't come in here.
And you know, it's funny you say that because I take my mother to her eye doctor on a semi-regular basis, and they have these little plastic colored sticks right at the top of the door, and it's like the one says waiting for the, like, one color means patient in the room, one means ready for the doctor, whatever.
Oh.
eye doctor. Okay? And they have this beautiful, clear system as to what's going on in the room. Because the worst that's going to happen is you're going to walk in on somebody who's like EFV1B.
Right.
Okay? Gyno, no warning.
If I had been the patient and the exam had been begun, there would have been some...
Oh.
Yeah.
I would have died.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not sure who did worse, but they're both pretty good.
I think you win.
Yeah, no. Now you win.
Oh my goodness.
You definitely win. That's bad. I mean, you know, I think we've all walked in on a stranger using a public restroom who didn't lock the stall door.
Oh yeah, I've done that.
I've received that.
I've received it too.
I couldn't figure out how to lock the door. And then the girl that busted open, I'm like, hey.
Yeah. See, it's closed.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
No, I was seemingly annoyed with me.
Oh.
Because she opened the door because it wasn't locked. I couldn't get it locked.
Yeah. No, yeah, that was definitely your fault.
Oh, my God.
Not.
Problems of stupid people.
Oh, my goodness.
And myself. It doesn't count if I'm calling myself stupid.
No.
All right. Is that enough? I've had enough of you people. For one day. But I'll meet you here next week.
All right.
So is that a date? Can we do this?
That sounds
okay.
Do this
again next week.
If you can get tired of us in just an hour, sure, we'll meet you again for another hour next week.
Yeah, and next week our very good friend Dr. John McGrail is going to be talking to us about stress. Why are we feeling so much stress, and what can we do about it? Also, a special. We're going to talk a little bit about teen anxiety. He's awesome. Love him.
That's good.
So when we come back next week, he'll be with us.
Right,
you know what we should do?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We should do mimosas next week. That'll help us de-stress while he's talking about how to de-stress. I'll bring the mimosas.
We can
Sunday
call
morning.
Uber, so we won't drink and drive.
But we're going to use your name. No, your name's all weird. We're going to use Frankenberry, my new Uber name.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
But that'll actually be a good guest to follow this week's guest.
Because he's awesome. He's great.
A lot of that why do haters hate comes from the stress.
Well, just stress in general. What's
going
on with it?
And kids, social media. Yes, that'll be a good one. So before we leave, by the way, the doc that we talked to earlier today, Dr. Elizabeth Lombardo, what was her email again? I mean, her web address.
Website, right? Websites? Isn't that what they call them?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, is ElizabethLombardo.com.
So if you're looking for some good advice or you just want to read a little bit about why haters hate, and we'll be back again next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, and we will talk to you then with Jonna and Carol and myself.
And mimosas.
See you then.
All right. Goodbye, ladies.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.